I would like to introduce my message this morning by borrowing just a little bit from Dr. Dino Padrone and his book. Preachers lose stuff constantly in their Bibles. Did you know that? At least this guy does. I had my notes here in front of me a few moments ago. But I would like this morning to talk about Peter. And in talking about Peter, I want to share something. I shared this once many, many years ago. I have made reference to it on more than one occasion. And I will again, as soon as I find my notes to use here this morning. But Peter is a man who is a lot like a lot of us. And as a man, a lot like a lot of us, he had his faults and his follies. And in the introduction to his book called Peter by Dr. Dino Padrone, he says this: "There are certain historical characters I wish I knew personally. One such individual is the Apostle Peter. He appears to be the epitome of the sanguine personality, emotionally up one moment and down the next. He is a most unique person. I visualize him as a third grade student raising his hand to every question posed by the instructor. He probably doesn't know many answers, but he does want to be noticed, and he lacks no confidence. We are introduced to the man when Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Peter and his brother Andrew. The word from the Lord is simple and direct. Peter liked it that way. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4, 19. "Both men immediately left their nets and followed him." Verse 20. It is later listed in Matthew 10, 2. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter. Peter liked to be first. It was this sanguine, believing disciple who told Jesus, "Command me to come to you on the water." The terrified disciples heard Jesus announce that he was the ghost-like figure in the midst of the storm, walking on the water. Peter steps out of the boat, walks on the water to Jesus, and does well as he heads towards his rabbi. He then takes his eyes off Jesus, sees the boisterous waves, and cries, "Lord, save me." Now, with that introduction this morning, I would like for us to think about this Peter, who said, "I will never deny you." We read it this morning in our passage there on the screen. He says, "I will never deny you. I will be willing to die for you." And yet we find Jesus saying to him, "Peter, you will deny me, and you will deny me many times." Now, how many times did Jesus say that Peter would deny him? Do not tell me three, because I want you to see this morning that there are more than three. You're going to need to turn in your Bibles back and forth throughout the gospel repeatedly. But the first time in chronological order, we are going to see from John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Now, you recall a few weeks ago that we looked at John 13, and we did so from verses 1 to 30. Now, I want to start this morning with verse 36. John 13 and verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Now, that is the first warning of Jesus. How many times did he say that Peter would deny him before the rooster crowed? Three times. Got that? Three times before the rooster. Now, I could put some things up on the board to help you follow along. There is the scriptures that we're going to be using this morning. And we will note it the first time that it was in the upper room. It was early in the evening, early in the meal, early in the conversation. Now, you will notice, as you are in John chapter 13, that they do not go out to Gethsemane until John 18, which means that chapters 14, 15, 16, and possibly 17 are all spoken in the upper room. John 17 may have been given along the path going out to Gethsemane. It may have been a prayer that Jesus gave in Gethsemane before he took Peter, James, and John and went further into the garden where he left them and said, "Pray with me." And then he went on and prayed by himself, you remember. He later will come back to those three and find them sleeping and say, "What, could you not stay awake and pray with me?" And then he leaves them and he goes back and he prays some more. And then he comes back a second time and finds those three guys sleeping instead of praying again. How many of you have a hard time staying awake when you try praying at night? All of us, right? Two hands up on my part. I know what that's about. I understand what these guys had gone through. But back to this. The second occasion in this evening that Jesus shares is found over in Luke chapter 22. So the second one is Luke chapter 22. You say, well, aren't they the same? Well, let's find out. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," now if you have Old King James, it says, "when you are converted." New King James, or some other translation, says, "when you have returned to me." Now, you can't return to something if you haven't left it. So in that statement, Jesus is saying, "Peter, you're going to leave me. You're going to run away from me. But when you come back to me, strengthen your brethren." But he, that is Peter, said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." Now notice there's a little added word there. This day. Not off in the future, Peter. This very night, we'll read in another place. So that is the second time. That's not the same occasion. It's the same meal. It's the same evening, but it's not the same occasion that we read about in John 19, or John 13, excuse me. Now we're going to go to a third one, and that's found over in Matthew. We're going chronologically to what happened in that evening. We're talking hours here. We're not talking minutes. We're talking a period of time that spans several hours. There is the gathering. There is the ceremony of Passover. During the ceremony of Passover, there is a feast part to that. There are all the symbols and the prayers and the songs that they sang. That was standard. Every Passover occasion, families did the same thing everywhere they were. But also, then there would be a meal that involved a roast lamb and many other things. There would be a regular banquet. And it's during this evening, around this table, that Jesus is carrying on these conversations that we find in 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 of John, that are only hinted at in these other Gospels. But look now at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 30 to 35. Matthew 26, 30 to 35. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Now notice, this is the same promise, three times before the rooster crows, in all three of these passages. But notice these three passages are not at the same time. One is at the beginning of the evening, one is near the middle or the end of the evening, one is after they have gone out to the Garden of Gethsemane and traveled along that path, which would have taken quite a length of time, maybe a half an hour from the time they left up here in Upper Jerusalem and gone all the way down through the valley, crossed the Kidron Brook, and then climbed the slopes of the Gethsemane to the garden that he is referring to. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." So said all the disciples. Now, all is well and good. We have three times before the rooster crows. Now we throw a monkey wrench in. Because there's a fourth occasion recorded for us, and that's the one that Mark records. Now we're going to go to Mark 14 and verses 26 to 31. Mark 14, 26 to 31, and we read that this morning. And I left off, deleted that last part of that verse. I'm not sure why or how. I copied this directly from a program. But here I have in verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night.'" There's that phrase, "this night," again. That's the second time we've seen this phrase, "this night." "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." That's the same thing that is we just read over in the book of Matthew. No problem. "But after I've been raised, I will go before you into Galilee." I want you to notice, and this is not part of my message, but I've got to point it out, that during that meal, two different times, Jesus brought up the matter of the resurrection. And it went in one ear and out the other and never stopped in any one of their 12 brains. You say, how could that be? I don't know, but I suspect has the same problem in every church service in the country. As I am preaching, most of it goes in one ear, out the other. And if I gave you a quiz at the door, you wouldn't be able to pass it, even if it was only 10 questions. And the same is true as if I was sitting in the pew and went out the door in another church and the pastor asked me 10 questions. I wouldn't be able to remember either. It's the nature of the beast, is it not? But notice Jesus talked twice during that evening about being raised from the dead and going up to Galilee to be with those guys, which didn't take place until John chapter 21, by the way. All right, then he says that after I've been raised, verse 28, I go before you into Galilee. But Peter, dear old Peter, said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And Jesus said, assuredly I say unto you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows, what's the next word? Twice. Now, wait a minute. All the other guys record that Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now, he says here, apparently a different part of the conversation that the other ones did not record, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me thrice. So, three times before the rooster crows once, three more times before the rooster crows twice, how many is that? Six. Now, I'm looking at my clock, your clock, the clock, and I am nowhere near done. But I'm going to jump through this as fast as I can, because this is the crux of the matter, is right here. How many times does the Bible record that Peter denied Jesus? See, that's the second thing. We looked at how many times did Jesus warn him where he would deny. Now we have to go and find out, did he deny Jesus more than three times? And guess what? We can do that. Peter's denials are provoked by at least six different accusers. Number one, the maid at the entrance to the courtyard where Peter will warm himself with others around a fire. Number two, a maid in the courtyard, not the one at the door, but one in the courtyard. Different circumstances, you can read it there. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Number three, a maid in the porch. Now, you have to understand the courtyard of the temple area. It's large. It's surrounded by porches, pillared colonnade porches. And so now here's a third young lady who accuses Peter of having been with Jesus and being a part of that. And you can read that. And that also is recorded in Matthew. Number four, two different men, one in Luke, one in John, accused Peter of having been with Jesus. And then it mentions in Matthew, Mark, and John that there were bystanders who also accused Jesus and jumped in on it and said, you definitely were with that Galilean. You were with that guy from Nazareth. And so you can find Peter denying Jesus five or six different times as you compare all of these things together. So what is the solution to this? Well, it's this. Here's the solution. You accept what the Bible says. You accept what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows once. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. Now you say, well, maybe they're the same three. Well, we just showed you that at least five, if not six people, provoked Peter to deny on separate occasions during that time that he tried to warm himself around the fire there in the courtyard area. Now, I think it's better to realize that Peter is the one who gave us the second three. You say, well, wait a minute, you read that in Mark. I know, but if you've ever studied the book of Mark and any commentaries, you know that most commentaries believe that Mark was assisted by Peter in writing his gospel. Why? Because Mark wasn't there when Jesus was born. He doesn't even mention Jesus' birth. Mark was there at the end of Jesus' life and ministry, and Mark became a disciple of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And so Peter gives him this information about the second set of three denials. Peter is believed to have helped Mark in the writing of his gospel. Now, I want to talk about one last thing. It'll take just a moment. And you can close your eyes while I talk. I want to talk about the matter of forgiveness. Peter is forgiven. Now, Jesus said, when you are returned or when you are converted, strengthen my brethren. Now, what in the world did he mean by that? Well, he knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew Peter was going to be forgiven. You can ask yourself right now, have you been forgiven? Are there things in your life that you do not accept God's forgiveness for? You need to. You say, I cannot forgive myself. And I've heard lots of people say that, so I'm not talking to just one person at this moment. The Bible doesn't talk about forgiving yourself. It talks about accepting the forgiveness that the Lord gives you. Whatever sins there are that you do not feel have been forgiven, then you need to go with me to 1 John 1:9 in your mind. You all know it by heart. I've repeated it thousands of times. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now you say, well, I can't be used by the Lord. I sinned too bad. You're forgiven. How badder could your sins be than Peter's sins? And yet Peter was the third person Jesus met after the resurrection. Or the third group. He met, first of all, Mary Magdalene. Secondly, he met the group of ladies. And thirdly, he found Peter and had a personal meeting with Peter that morning after resurrection. You read that in the Bible, obviously. And then you remember a week later, up at the Sea of Galilee, Peter went back fishing. Jesus meets them on the lake, on the coastline, and he calls them over, and Peter jumps out of his boat and comes swimming to Jesus because he's in a hurry. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? He restores Peter and he gives him a job to do. And then I remind you that on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus died, Peter preaches a powerful message. A powerful message. And in that powerful message, 3,000 people are saved that day. Did Jesus forgive Peter? Yes. Did Jesus ever use Peter again? Certainly. Jesus used Peter over and over and over again till he died by crucifixion like his Lord. Father God, we come to you this morning confessing our sin to you. Lord, help us to see you have forgiven us when we have confessed it. It's forgiven, it's forgotten, it's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's buried in the depths of the deepest sea, it's remembered against us no more, and help us, Father, to get out there and work and serve you as we should. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.